Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The famous verse, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world." The coming of Jesus to be a sacrifice for sin made possible the redemption of lost mankind, so that whoever believes in him might have everlasting life. Now that's good news. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Now, join us for more about the gospel we proclaim.
Now, when we think about the love of God, we have to distinguish it from human love, don't we? Because human love basically is based upon the person who is loved. Human love says, "I love you because of your personality. I love you because of your appearance. I love you because I love to be with you and the way in which you make me feel." That's human love. And then when the object of that love changes, you have a divorce. You're not the person I loved you in the past, so now I have to divorce you. You've changed. You're not the person I married, so I'm out of here. Divine love is very different. Divine love says it is not based upon the one who is loved, it is based on the lover. And God says, "I can go on loving you even when you are no longer lovable." In fact, the scripture says that when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet enemies. He died for us. So God comes when we were playing on the wrong team, when we were his enemies, when we were in the grips of Satan, when we were doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're being dragged around by the devil. It is then that God comes into the cemetery, and it is his love that motivates him. But now, as I've explained in different messages, the love itself couldn't do it. Love needed some way by which justice could be satisfied so that love would be free to redeem. This is one of the great differences between the God of the Bible and Allah in Islam. In Islam, basically, you pay for your own sin, but there are some sins that Allah might forgive, as I understand it, if I have this correct. There are some sins that Allah might forgive if they're not too big. But if you ask the question, well, who pays for those sins? There is no payment made for them, really. Allah just lets bygones be bygones. The God of the Bible is so just that his love cannot save unless his justice has been appeased and satisfied. And that's the reason that Jesus died on the cross. God had a certain standard that God himself met in Christ. And so that's why love was now free to actually redeem. So at the cross we see the love of God, but we also see the power of God. I just read it. It says that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive. God made us alive. What good would it be to believe in a God who is love, a God who is just, even if that justice were satisfied, if he were not a God who could raise the dead? He has to be the creator God, God of very God, so that he can create and he can come into a cemetery and speak and say, "Get up." Three times Jesus raised the dead, and each time he did it by his word. And that's how God raises us up as well. Now notice what God does. He makes us alive. Remember this, Christianity does not teach that Jesus came to take bad men and make them better, though praise God that that happens. Jesus came to take dead men and make them alive. There is a quickening that happens in our hearts. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. There is something within you that's been created there after you get saved, or at the time when you are saved, that wasn't there previously. God connects us with himself. So he comes to the cemetery, he makes us alive, and we'd be grateful if we were just alive. But for a moment, I want the Holy Spirit to show us the incredible generosity of God in doing so much more for us than that. Notice it says here in Ephesians, he made us alive, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. God says, I am going to take you and I'm going to seat you with Jesus. Now, this is spiritually speaking, but that does not mean that it's unreal. It's real. It's not visible to the human eye, because we need to understand this in a legal and spiritual sense. But if you're here today as a believer, you are already seated with Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, that's one of the reasons why we need not fear death, is because we're there already with Jesus. And that's why we can be assured that there will not be a big hassle on the border from life to death. Because we say our advocate is there, and we're already seated with our advocate. We already have residence in heaven. All that we need to do is to transfer the soul to the right place. So God takes us. And he doesn't just save us. The purpose of salvation is not just to keep you from hell, though praise God it does that. The purpose of salvation is so that God may prove what he is able to do to sinners, and for sinners who don't deserve a thing, who deserve to remain dead in the cemetery. God raises us up. And someday we will reign with Jesus Christ, as I read in the book of Revelation last night, as it was read here in this sanctuary. We're going to rule with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, he who overcomes, to him I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Never yet met a Christian who doesn't want to be an overcomer. Every Christian wants to be an overcomer. But I've met many Christians who don't want to have anything to overcome. They say, I want to be an overcomer, but the minute God gives them something to overcome, they complain and they begin to lose hope. Jesus said, you overcome, you'll sit with me, and you'll reign with me in heaven. Now, we've talked about the love of God, the power of God to raise us. I should also here speak about the purpose of God. Why all this? Is it only for our benefit? Well, praise God, it is for our benefit, but look at the text. Notice it says, verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. And Paul refers to this elsewhere. What God wants to do is he wants to put us on display. He wants us to be an advertisement for his undeserved grace. So that in ages to come, when he has taken us from the dirt and he has given us dignity and he's dug us up from the mud so that we might be able to walk on marble, that his grace and his power and his love and his mercy might be on display through all of eternity because of what he so graciously did for sinners. Many years ago, when a man by the name of Paul Gibson retired as principal of Cambridge University, there was a portrait painted of him. And he was present, of course, when it was unveiled. And he said, as he gave tribute to the artist, the painter, he said that in years to come, people are not going to say, who's that man in the portrait? People are going to say, who was that painter to do such an outstanding job? Throughout all of eternity, those who are watching, whether it's angels and others. The question is not going to be, who are the redeemed? But rather the question will be, who was their redeemer to take them from the pit of sin and exalt them in ways that boggle the mind? If you're going to be with us next week, and I hope you are, and I speak about angels, I'm going to show you that we are going to be above the angels in the eternal state. This is what God has done for sinners, to display his glory, to show what he can do. We are exhibit A of the undeserved love, mercy, grace, and power of God. Now, the question is, how is this received? Paul mentions grace earlier. He says, for by grace you are saved. He has to throw that in, but then he gets to verse 8 and clarifies even more directly. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What do we say about the grace that saves? First of all, grace, as you know, is God's undeserved favor. He's giving us what we don't deserve out of the abundance of his mercy. That's what grace is. And first of all, it's obvious. It has to be a free gift. It has to be a free gift. Jesus couldn't come to Lazarus and say, now, Lazarus, I'm willing to raise you, but, you know, I need something from you first. I mean, Lazarus, at least wiggle a finger. Give me something, and then I'll do it for you. No, 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 no. It has to be his sovereign choice and his gift. There is no other way that it could be. Because in the process of trusting Christ, what happens is we receive the righteousness of God, which is not human righteousness, added to a higher power. It's an entirely different kind of righteousness. So the only way in which you and I can receive it is simply as a gift. Yes, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and the gift that God gives us is given to those who receive it, most assuredly. But even in the receiving it, there is grace. That's why salvation is wholly and totally of the Lord. You know, sometimes we say to ourselves that salvation, that doctrine, we need to get beyond it. In my opinion, we always have to keep getting back to it, because we never exhaust the wonder of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So I leave you today, hopefully encouraging you, walk in the strength of God's saving grace.
Erwin Lutzer with more about The Gospel We Proclaim, another message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time, how to make the gospel known to those whose eternity depends on hearing it. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.